Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Nearer my me to thee, nearer my me. Hello, I am God. Welcome to Godcast, joined as always by my trusty sidekick, Joan of Arc. Hello, Joan.
Hello, my lord.
We have a great show for you today because it is still Pride Month. It is June. That's Pride Month. And so we have as a guest the ultimate gay icon, Judy Garland. She will be joining us in a moment. She's in the green room right now. I can see her. She is drinking a brown liquid that I
certainly
hope is tea. Yes, yes. I certainly hope is iced tea.
Hydration is important.
Because there's a couple of big ice cubes in it, but hopefully she's fine.
Okay.
What are you looking at? You're looking at TMZ on your screen right
now. You can see that?
Yeah, I can see that.
You're looking at
TMZ right now rather than focus on God and making his divine podcast as good as possible. You're looking at gossip. You should be focused on Godsip, not gossip.
I'm so sorry. I should be focusing on work, and I just get distracted. I apologize.
Yeah, I don't care about anything going on TMZ. But just out of curiosity, what's going on TMZ?
Oh, well, there's all this stuff about Chrissy Teigen and, like, what a bitch she is.
Oh, she's a colossal bitch and a hypocrite, too, right? Because she's...
Yeah.
No. I don't care. That's so beneath me, my opinions on such petty little matters.
Okay, so you don't want to hear
social media lives about, of like, models. It's irrelevant. I don't care.
Okay, I won't tell you about this Kardashian story then, or I won't tell you about this headline. No, you won't want to hear this. It's cool.
No, of course I don't want to hear it. Could you please share with everybody the headline that I don't want to hear?
Kim Kardashian owes Chris Humphries an apology, she thinks. That's what basically the gist of it.
Yeah, well, I don't keep up with the Kardashians, and I don't care, although she really does. But I don't care.
I'm so tempted to ask you about because I just want to know what you think about it, but you're way above this nonsense, so I won't even ask.
Yeah, I'm way above the nonsense, but what nonsense?
Well, have you heard about this whole Batman controversy?
Yes, I do hear about every controversy, whether I like it or not. It's part of the gig. Go ahead and explain what it is.
Okay, so there's this show called Harley Quinn on HBO Max. It's a cartoon for adults, and they wrote into it where Batman has oral sex with Catwoman, but DC was like, no way, you gotta cut that. And their quote was, heroes don't do that.
I have, as I say, no opinion about this. If I had an opinion about this, however, it would be this. Heroes do that. Any kind of sexual act you perform with a consensual partner or partners is fine by me. There is no problem with fellatio, cunnilingus, or any of the other terms that are too delicate to be expressed in English, so are said instead in Latin. Mm. But what I do have a problem with, what is an abomination to me, is men dressing up as bats. And women dressing up as cats. That's Island of Dr. Moreau shit. That is disgusting. Disgusting.
Huh. So just inherently, Batman is just bad.
Yes, if he wants to save Gotham, he can do it in a costume. He can disguise himself, but not as an animal. Not as an animal. And if Catwoman wants to help him along, not as an animal. She's got to be a human being.
Oh, okay. I mean, they're still doing good things, so I didn't think it mattered like what they wore when they... went and did these good deeds.
Well, it doesn't matter what they do because they're fictional and they don't exist. So in that sense, it doesn't really matter. But in the sense that they exist in people's imaginations, I am offended.
What about furries?
Oh, furries is fine. Furries is a sexual thing. And so is plushies. That's totally cool.
Bronies?
That's totally cool. I think bronies are dorks, but I kind of get it. I don't know. I'm not morally condemning them at all. It's totally fine. I just think it's kind of dorky.
Yeah.
We're done with TMZ.
Yeah,
I don't ever want to talk about TMZ or gossip stuff on this show again. This is about gossip, not gossip. So no more TMZ check-ins for a half hour at least.
Yes, my lord.
And now, prayer of the week.
Prayer of the week!
Okay, Joan, what's this week's prayer?
This week's prayer comes to us from a gentleman named Siavash. I'm just gonna press play and let it speak for itself.
Okay.
Dear Lord, my name is Siavash. I'm Iranian and I'm brown. And I want you to make me white and blonde whenever I enter airport. So I go brown to the airport. I just turn white and blonde, like very cute little boy. And then I go through the gates. I sit in the flight and go back. And then when I'm going off the plane, I'm back to brown again. That would have solved many problems in my life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Wow, that is a very intense prayer.
Yeah. I'm sorry that that's something you deal with, Siavash. And, I mean, my wish would be that you never have to change and just the jerks in the airport would behave like human beings. My Lord, is that something you could do?
That's a thing that would greatly improve the situation, not just for him, but for all people on Earth.
Yeah.
It is something I could fix, and I'm not going to.
May I ask why?
You may ask why. I'm not going to tell you, though. I just don't want to. I could have done this at any time for the last 5,000 years. I could have come down. I could have solved the world's problems, any of them, all of them, including racism, sexism, anything. I don't.
The sad truth, Siavash, is that sometimes prayers don't work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a terrible thing, but I am ultimately a heartless sociopath. And that was Prayer of the Week. Joan, tell the listeners how they can submit a prayer of their very own.
If you want to submit a prayer like Siavash did, you can go to at the Tweet of God. There's a pinned tweet and it has a link where you can leave a message. And I'm sorry, Siavash. We'll try harder next week.
Prayer of the Week!
Somewhere after the ad break, my interview with Judy Garland.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
My guest today is one of the greatest entertainers of the 20th century, and certainly the most emotionally healthy. Please welcome to the show the immortal Judy Garland. Hello, Judy.
Hello. God, it's wonderful to see you. After such a long time, I was waiting for your call, and I hadn't heard from you in a long time, so I'm thrilled.
Well,
thrilled to be here.
Yes. Well, you know I approve of you, right? Like, you know I approve of you, and you're doing a good job. You don't have to worry about that with me.
Do you really, God?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. You're a tremendous singer, tremendous dancer, triple threat. You don't have to worry about that insecurity, that famous insecurity of yours. You can let it go in heaven.
I'm so relieved. You could have saved me so much time, though, if you just let me know that a long time ago. But that's all water under the bridge, though.
Right, right. You've been playing gigs here in heaven for the last 50-plus years.
That's
They're
right.
Sold out every night. You get better and better. How do you do it? How do you stay so young vocally? What's the secret to your success?
Oh, it's honestly, it's the fans, you know. I mean, I thrive off of their energy and their enthusiasm. And I the energy is so palpable, do you know? And I get revived. It's almost like I step on the stage, you know, and I just turn 22 all over again, do you know? I adore it. I adore them, and I just want to stay here and sing all night.
And if I may ask, and I may, I am God, how are you doing health-wise? How's the sobriety going for you?
Oh, never better. Never better. I adore sobriety. I adore recovery. I think it's marvelous. You know, just say, I'm done with it, and just, you know, just go out there and do your best and hope that everything turns out all right.
So you haven't had a drink in some time?
Not a drop.
You haven't had any?
Not a drippity drop, not a drop.
Okay. And no barbiturates or anything?
I don't know. What did you just call me? I don't even know what those are. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, let's start at the beginning when you were born, Francis Ethel Gum.
That's right.
In 1922, you were part of a sister act on vaudeville, the Gum Sisters. Yes, and you, for good reason, changed your name to Garland. How did you get the name Garland, by the way? How did you choose Garland?
I was doing a wonderful rodeo program, and Wallace Beery did not like the name Gum, and so he said, I'm going to name you Garlands, and that's how it came about.
And you were not treated all that well by studio executives, were you?
Darling, communist spies are probably treated better than I was by that Louis B. Mayer.
Right. They called you unattractive. They called you too fat. They constantly monitored your weight.
He called me his little hunchback. Is that any way to treat a little girl?
No.
I ask you.
Does that pain still resonate for you?
Oh, no. I'm. It's wiring the bit. I don't mind. I don't have grudges. I'm Judy Garland. I don't let little people disturb me.
Well, good for you. Your first success on the screen came as a partner with Mickey Rooney. The two of you had incredible chemistry. You were the biggest stars of the late 30s, early 40s. What are your memories of Mickey?
I adore Mickey. And you know, he was good to me when nobody else would be good to me, God. When I was in for my nerves, you see, I was exhausted and I was in a marvelous facility. And Mickey was the first one to come around and say, you can do it, June. And he had a wonderful enthusiasm about him. And he did the most marvelous Oriental characters.
Yes.
I don't know if you're familiar.
Yes, yes. At Breakfast at Tiffany's, Mickey Rooney played a Chinese gentleman in a way that I think in modern times might not go over quite as well.
Oh, I suppose, you know, they're much more fussy about this.
And then, of course, came The Wizard of Oz. Did you know at the time that you were making movie magic when you were making that movie? Or were you just,
I didn't know where I was, to be honest. You know, it was pills to wake you up, pills to go to sleep, and sing a few show tunes and strap your bosoms down. They wanted me to pretend I was like 9 years old. I think I was 25 at the time. And you know, but it was a glorious, glorious experience, you know, with Bert Lahr, Ray Bolger,
sure.
and the other fellow. Do you know, Buddy Ebsen was supposed to play the Tin Man.
Yeah, I did. And what happened to him? Why wasn't he cast?
He had to do the Beverly Hillbillies.
Ah, yeah, of course. Well, that was more important.
I'm so sorry. What had happened is he was covered, you see, in this silver metallic makeup, you know,
yeah.
And it was all over, and he was inhaling this dust, you know, so I think he had pleurisy or some such thing.
You know, The Wizard of Oz means so much to so many people, it's hard to even get into it in one podcast, but I know for you, Joan, it was a remarkably, and remains a remarkably important movie for you.
Yes, and hello, Ms. Garland. And
Miss Ark.
Yes,
hello.
That's fine. No one really can pronounce my real last name.
Jean d'Arc.
I have been trying to meet you forever, so it's because I feel like we have some parallels in our lives. Like, I have some similarities to Dorothy. You know, it's a teenage girl coming of age, even though
yes.
You were, you know, much older. You know, you were tested by, like, flying monkeys, and I was put on trial by the pro-English bishop, Pierre Cochon, for heresy.
Very similar, very similar.
Yes.
Very similar. You had friends like the Lion and the Tin Man, and I had allies like Baudricot soldiers, Chantamis, Baudricot des Portugais. Like, just some very similar stories.
Yeah, and you heard voices, and I have a voice.
You have a beautiful voice, exactly. Thank you for understanding.
Right. And then at the end of The Wizard of Oz, you wound up back home, whereas you, Joan, wound up burned at the stake and you're still on fire right
permanently
now.
Permanently on fire. The perk is I get to be God's co-host, sidekick, second banana on this podcast. The downside is I am permanently a
fire. Do you know what it's called, Joan? It's called paying your dues. And I respect that about you.
Thank you.
You didn't take the easy road. If I can be co-host, I'll be burned at the stake. You think they didn't try and do that to me? They tried to destroy me.
They did. Okay, so I have so much respect for you. I am, first of all, obviously a fan of The Wizard of Oz and A Star is Born and Meet Me in St. Louis, that trolley song. I love that trolley song. But what I really want to know is, what is it like to be the mother of one of the stars of Grease 2? Lorna Loft.
Oh, Lorna. Oh, yes, of course not. Oh,
I didn't forget about Lorna, did you?
She's wonderful. We don't talk like we used to, you know. She just can't get through, but... I feel horribly sad about not maybe spreading the love around, you know, with between the three and my son Jimmy.
Who?
Joan, it's Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc.
Joan.
No, she's talking about her son, God. He's just...
Yes, thank
you. I believe.
Yes,
Just call him J.
J.J. Joan. The little Joe. They said that happiness is just a thing called Joe.
Ms. Garland, what is that brown liquid you're drinking from a glass there?
Oh, this is a marvelous tea. It's a herbal tea. They got oriental spices. It's got cardamom and coriander. And it's marvelous for the joints and the, gets everything lubricated. And you really should try it. I don't know if you suffer from arthritis, Scott, but it's a horrible, debilitating disease.
Okay. I'm God. I'm omniscient. I know everything. But I'm going to let that pass and keep on with the interview.
Cheers.
What are your other most famous songs? Well, first of all, Over the Rainbow. That's the most famous song probably of the 20th century.
Yeah, and, I agree. It's beautiful.
And you've probably sung it thousands of times. How do you sing a song for the 2,000th time and still make it feel fresh and sincere?
How do you not sing it 2,000? That's a beautiful song. And it doesn't get the respect it deserves. You know they wanted to cut it out of the movie, those sons of bitches.
Okay. No, I didn't.
I want to go over the rainbow, and I deserve that.
Well,
I'm here.
You've been over the rainbow since 1969.
I did it, motherfuckers. Oof. Fuck them all. Do you know I used to do that before I would go out on stage, and they had all these expectations. Oh, here she comes. She better be better than last time. She better break open a spleen on stage and break our hearts and then hit a high G. Well, you know what I would do? I was tiny, but I would grab the curtains backstage and I would just pump myself up and I would say, fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em. And I would get very large and then I would walk out and I would deliver.
You must have a headache, Judy, because I see you're taking a couple of capsules there. I guess must be aspirin.
Oh, yes, Dad. It's all wonderful, again, herbal.
Aspirin, right? Aspirin.
Aspirin is wonderful for the heart, but some things can't cure my heart, least of all you.
Okay, there's no need to attack me, Judy. I blessed you with a number of wonderful things in your life.
A blessing?
You did.
It's a blessing. But it's also a curse. Look, I don't want to fight. I love you, girl. I love you.
You really put out mixed messages. I can see why you were such a wonderful wife and how you were able to do it five different times, five different marriages.
Yes.
You must have really enjoyed sampling different kinds of marriages, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, and you learn a little bit each time, you know, like, so, you know, what was it? David Rose. He just wanted to ride around a choo-choo around the house. He was a marvelous jazz musician. And I was terribly in love with Joe Mankiewicz, but he wouldn't marry me. And Vincente. I came home and I found him in bed with another man. He's just snug as a bug in a rug. You know, fine, you're gay. I love, you know, that's what this month is all about. God bless.
Exactly. It's Pride Month. That's why you're on this month. Yeah.
That's right. And Vincent and Mickey Deans and Sid Luft. That bum. He's a bum. He's some kind of monster.
Well, let me steer you back to something I think you might be more comfortable with. You're one of the best singers of all time. And I understand that you prepared a very special medley for us today on behalf of my son, your savior, none other than Jesus Christ.
Jesus de Cristo.
Yes, sure. Jesus de Cristo.
Oh, the song! They say the night is bitter, that stars lost its glitter, the wise men wander to Bethlehem out yonder, and all because of the man who spoke the word, for he was neat. He said, I wish you hadn't nailed my hands and feet. King Herod tried to have him killed. It didn't work because he got away. Away above the crucifix, that's where you'll find. The man that's also God, who God, oh, is it something like that?
Oh.
Bravo!
Unbelievable.
Bravo!
Everybody here is clapping. Jesus is on his feet, which is very hard for him for obvious reasons. But he's on his feet. And amazing. Amazing.
I love you, Joan.
I love you, Judy.
Joan, do you swing? Do you go?
Well,
you know.
Listen.
Do you know, I would love to do a cabaret act with you where it's Judy of Arc and Joan Garland. And we can mix it all up and swap roles.
I have to ask permission from my lord before I commit to any kind of contractual stuff.
Oh, papers. Pish posh.
Pish posh?
I think we can talk about this more after the show. As you said, it is a contractual and legal thing. You obviously are the gay icon of all gay icons. Why is that? What is it about you and your life and your persona that has made you so iconic in the gay community?
Well, I think because people are constantly, you know, spitting in my face and slapping me around and then stomping on me and pissing all over me and then vomiting on me. And then saying, get up and sing us a song. Do you know? And I think that the wonderful gay community can relate an awful lot to that.
Right. So metaphorically, they've been vomited on, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I mean quite literally dying. It's horrible to get out of certain fabrics in a rayon.
So the rayon, when you wear rayon, it makes you vomit? Is that what you're saying?
No. My lord, it makes you a target for the vomiting.
Men don't know. They don't know. They don't know what you go through. The gays know what I go through.
Yeah.
I love them.
Do you have any advice for other living gay icons that, you know, had followed in your foot, like Cher or people like, or Lady Gaga?
Oh, Gaga. I love Goo Goo.
Gaga.
Gaga.
Okay.
Zsa Zsa. I love her. I she's a marvelous voice. I didn't get to fly over any stadiums, but I respect her. I think it's marvelous. She takes wonderful, glorious creative risks. She's covered in meat. I never got to wear a meat gown.
Judy, it's really odd and funny that you keep your herbal tea in a Jack Daniels bottle. Why is that?
That's to remind me of my recovery. And I resent you insinuating. How dare you?
I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just noticing what I'm noticing. You're keeping... And you also drink the tea in a way where you sort of swig it and you have the glass go almost all the way up to your face.
That's right.
Rapid fashion.
Because I know how to live. That's why people just sit there sipping their tea in their little teacups. Superior. Looking down their noses at me. I know what I'm doing. Hey, it's a parade.
Coming up next, Judy continues to drink and sing, and I'm worried she'll take it too far. You are so meaningful for so many people. In fact, some people might know this. The day after you died was the night of the Stonewall riots. That happened
right.
The next day, and some people say that your death was in part responsible for triggering that landmark event in gay history.
That's right. That's right. It all that hit the fan. Now it hit the fans. You know, down on Christopher Street.
Yeah.
Marvelous little nightclubs, you know, where they would have those pants, what do you call them, with the bottoms cut out. And the police were horrible.
Yes, there was a lot of violence that night. That's what the gay people were reacting to. They had enough of that kind of treatment.
Do you know something? When they built the World Trade Center, it's no longer there, God.
I'm aware of that, Judy.
I couldn't believe. I looked down and I went, where did it go? But anyhow, when they were building the thing, that are making construction changes or something, they opened up a steel column, or what do you have you, and inside it was a newspaper article about my death.
Really?
Yes, because I always rise like your son. I always rise. You can't keep me down. I know you're going to try.
That's a fascinating tidbit, Judy, and well worth you bringing up the specter of 9/11 into this interview. So thank you for that. Now, you've been playing a nonstop gig, a one-woman gig in heaven for 52 years.
That's
sporadically.
Right.
I say sporadically because about 70 or 80 so times you have asked for weeks off for what you call personal reasons, recoveries, rehabs. So you're very good when...
Excuse me, God. Really?
You're very good when you're performing. You're the best ever. But you do seem to have a problem with consistency. Why? You always have, even when you were alive. You often showed up late at the set. You often didn't show up at all. Why was that?
Well, you know something. We all have regrets. You get angry and then you feel, oh, maybe I went too far.
Well, I feel one thing we do have in common is emotional volatility.
Yes, we do. Because we're passionate people. We're passionate. We live.
Exactly. We run hot and cold. We're full of love and then full of hate, full of not killing people and then full of killing people. And And you're the same way on a much smaller scale, but certainly you run hot and cold too. You're full of, okay.
Wow, that's a big pitcher of liquid.
So now this Jack Daniels bottle has not been opened. You are opening it now, but you're saying it comes full of tea pre-packaged. Is that right?
That's right, and I like to add a little soda water. Just to spritz it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It is heaven after all. So it's
a
bottomless cup of tea.
It's just like a... It's just... This is a lot of liquid is making...
You have to keep hydrated. My
John.
Darling, you, of course, you would know about... Maybe if you had been hydrated, you wouldn't have burned.
It's
like
true.
You had
it's an excellent point.
Joan... Do you think we should? Should we intervene here,
well,
or should
what
we?
I was wondering.
Should we like? I don't know.
With Treat me rough, muss my hair, kiss and hug and squeeze me. I don't care.
I kind of feel like she thrives on this anyway. She's meant to be.
Yeah. Well, I worry, and then she sings, and then everything seems okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even her belch was adorable.
Yeah. Your belch was adorable.
Hello, Frisco.
Let's move on with the interview, I guess, as you enjoy your tea. Your daughter, of course, is Liza Minnelli. You proud of her? You proud of her accomplishments in the show business?
And Lorna.
Okay, we know. We know about Lorna.
And Jerry, my son Jerry. I'm so proud of Liza. Liza with a Z, not an S, not a Z. She's still alive. That's incredible.
It is counterintuitive, isn't it?
She's just, she scares me after death, though. With those eyelashes, I thought they were spiders. I have a deadly fear of spiders. But it turns out it was the DTs.
Well, she is alive, and she's alive and well. She's alive, and that's terrific for her. You know, I was reading your Wikipedia bio, because even though I know everything, I like to use Wikipedia just to bone up. And I didn't realize that you were friendly with the Kennedys. You were friendly with John and Jackie, and you actually talked to John Kennedy once a week. And you would end the phone calls by singing the first few bars of Over the Rainbow.
That's right. That's right. I would do that all the time for Jack. And I adore Jackie. You know, she understood me as well. We had an understanding. And, it's almost as if I was, throughout my entire life, I was wearing that pink suit.
The pink suit that she was wearing when her husband was assassinated.
Covered in blood.
Right. So let me ask you about... Judy?
Miss Garland?
Miss Garland? Judy seems to be... taking a brief nap.
She's up.
I'm here.
What did you just have a little narcolepsy or something? A little nap, maybe?
I was just tired. I was so tired.
Should we continue with the interview, or do you need a minute?
No, I'm fine. I just need to shut my eyes a little.
This has never happened during an interview.
Well, no, it did one time we interviewed Dylan Thomas, remember the Welsh poet, and he pretty much vomited and defecated right on the desk. This is not quite as bad, but this is fairly bad.
Yeah, maybe we should just wrap it up.
Sure. Judy, we're almost out of time here.
I do want to ask you. Oh, Dolly.
I always, as a courtesy, of course, give my guests a chance to plug whatever they're working on. You're working on your one-woman show up here in heaven. Anything else you wanted to plug on your behalf?
Yes, well, aside from the wonderful nightclub act here up in the Pearly Gates, and by the way, tell Peter to call me. I'm working up a number with him. I am doing a wonderful... They're doing this streaming now, and for the Pride Month, they're doing a marvelous... My dear, dear friend... glorious young lady called Mary Birdsong. She does musicals too, you know. And she's doing a musical called Tales of the City. And at first I thought it was Dickens, but it's not. It's a marvelous series of books by Armistead Maupin, a wonderful, talented author. But they made a musical out of it and they're streaming it. American Conservatory Theater is streaming it on the internet. June 21st to June 27th, and I promised Mary I would plug that.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Well, Mary is an extremely, extremely talented woman and very generous with her time. And
she's so attractive.
And her talent.
And single.
Mm-hmm. And she's very attractive.
And she likes the fellas, by the way.
So, okay, doesn't seem relevant to the interview, but I'll put it out there that she's very attractive, which is true, and very single. And
available.
And likes the
and
fellas.
And
so.
Available.
Right. And yeah, that's Mary
and
Birdsong.
She doesn't want to live with the man she loves. What's wrong with that?
Okay.
Is that rhetorical, or did she want to...
I don't know what that means. Okay. Joan, you are so fun. Do you know that?
I try. when he lets me.
Judy, you two have a marvelous chemistry. Are there wedding bells?
Okay. Judy, thank you so much for coming. Do you want to leave us with one last musical tidbit before we go?
Yeah. For those of you at home, she's tangled in the microphone cord.
And she's also bleeding from the forehead. You're bleeding.
I think we should wrap this up. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Garland. Judy Garland, everybody. Thank you so much. Well, that's our show for today. And Judy Garland, as you heard, had some technical issues there. Purely technical issues, although they couldn't have been helped by the fact that she was incredibly drunk and stoned on prescription medication.
Yeah, actually, TMZ has already written about it. They're calling it technical exhaustion.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
But she was kind enough. I think she felt bad about how it ended.
Yeah.
She sent us a pre-recorded song and asked us to play this at the end of the show in honor of Pride Month. This is a version of one of her classic songs that she has changed the lyrics to in honor of Pride Month. We're going to leave you with this song right now. Please listen. And Joan and I will be back next week.
I'd like to say that all my arrangements were done by God himself, and that wonderful arranger, Mort Lindsay, a talented and petty, small individual. Have yourself a merry little Pride Month. Let your heart be light. From now on, closets will be out of sight. I think it's fun. Have yourself a merry little Pride Month. Make the Junetide gay. From now on, your closet can be cast away. No more years leading hidden lives, no forbidden lives, no shame. Now our love is allowed to speak, and we're proud to speak its name. Through the years, there always will be haters. We will never bow. Most are secret friends of Dorothy, anyhow. So have yourself a merry little Pride Month. Happy Pride Month to everybody.
Godcast is a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Alex Ramsey, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and David Javerbaum. Original music by Gabe Lopez. Joan of Arc appears courtesy of Tara Sands. For more original podcasts, visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content from this show and others, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And if you haven't already, remember to follow God on Twitter @TheTweetOfGod.
Forever!